We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me over there in New York City, my man, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I have a proposal, and I didn't run this by you beforehand because I'm 50% owner of Solid Verbal Media LLC, correct?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Okay, 50%. And so I would like to offer, not necessarily, and I do have a Saturday nickname, but not necessarily that. I want to propose a general theme for a show this important in which we preview championship weekend.
Okay.
My thematic proposal is cleanliness.
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 Sterile Saturday?
And you can probably already hear it in my voice, but I just got out of the shower.
Okay.
And I feel great.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, Ty. That's where I wash just, not just my body, but also my mind.
Sure. Cleanse.
That's where I really, yes.
Sure.
And so that to me is going to be at least my half of the show in terms of theme, cleanliness. What are teams doing? What are teams not doing? And I just, for a show this special, I feel like we have to really focus on where we want to go. And I also do have a Saturday nickname proposal, but we can get into that in a moment. But I just wanted to put that into your mind and into listeners' minds right off the top, because also it's a December to remember, Ty.
It's always a December to remember. Very soothing to play that background track here. As we get into the month of December now, of course, we're talking about all things conference championships.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we got going on this weekend. We've got 10 of them that we're going to go through, some a little bit more deeply than others. But alas, we've got Power 5 games. We've got Group of 5 games. Thank you for coming back to the show, for downloading, and for embarking on this one final weekly preview show for the 2019 season. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
It's the final one.
This season actually flew by. Some seasons crawl. This one was a flyer. And it's a bit of a bummer to me because we had some really fun weeks.
We had some really fun weeks. And
now ahead of what? Shampoo Saturday? We wash away the Pretenders? No, that's not where I'm going with it.
Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. If you haven't already, as we've said time and again, we will be with you all throughout the calendar, even if football is not in season. So hit the subscribe button on whatever podcasting app you prefer. You can also go on out to our website at solidverbal.com and find all of our old stuff. As you are watching the conference championship games this weekend, one final time for the reverb line this year. Maybe we'll open it up for the national championship, but 408 Verbal One. It's 408-837-2251 or thereverbline@gmail.com. If you want to do one of those voice memos on your phone and then email it into us, The email address for that, again, is thereverbline@gmail.com or 408verbal1. If you want to get in on the reverbs, our boy Ryan will mix those up. We will put them together when we do our Sunday recap episode. Mm-hmm. And finally, if you don't follow us on social, go out and do that or check out the subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com, Dan.
Yeah, where people weigh in on college football topics, on me coaching Mizzou football, on their thoughts about our advertising partners. All sorts of fun things can be found at solidverbal.reddit.com. Did I get that address correct?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I think you nailed everything, and we should probably start talking about branding the weekend, start talking about our thoughts. I know you wanted a breakdown. You specifically earmarked your UAB linebacker depth thoughts.
I did.
I'm ready for everything.
Well, let's start here.
Okay.
I'm not going to yell breaking news in that high-pitched tone that I normally
do. Say it in German if you mean it.
I'm not going to go there because I want to try and preserve these pipes. I'm excited for this show. If it is our final weekly preview show of the calendar year,
right,
I need to bring it for the full 60 minutes.
That is true.
Let's start here. Clay Helton, reportedly, according to our friend Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports, he will be retained. He is staying at USC, which comes as, I guess, a bit of a surprise. You know, 8-4, I think, is the final tally for USC. We talked before the season that 9 wins maybe was the cutoff, but
right,
it seems to be a situation, if I have read the tea leaves correctly, where USC was looking around. They were setting their sights very high on Urban Meyer, on guys like Bob Stoops. Clearly, if they could have gotten one of those guys, Clay Helton would no longer be the coach. But it seems as if the top rung guys that they may have pursued were not available / not interested. And rather than make a change and go to someone else that they were unsure of, they decided that they would stick with Clay Helton.
Right. When, so who knows? Because nothing official has come out. That is, what the quote is that Bruce said was what? That they're leaning, or that's going in that direction?
Right, right.
So there's nothing absolute. There's no release from USC, which is also a weird thing to release, right? You're like, yeah, so our coach is still the coach.
Yeah, it's like when they pick a pope and nope, they're still in conclave.
Right, exactly. So there is nothing, I guess, an official from the school, and there was rumors of, the always fun coaching search season emergency meeting. We are going to be monitoring, at least during this show.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
Whether or not there is an actual emergency meeting and what comes of it. There are obviously a lot of things to go around blame-wise with USC in terms of recruiting has fallen off. That's not great. Attendance has fallen off. Defense at times has fallen off in big games. They have aspirations of being a double-digit win team year in and year out, and I think that's pretty reasonable. I don't know what can be done in terms of it's a money thing is why they're retaining Clay Helton, the continuity thing, a maturity at the top thing, which they haven't always had. I get all of those reasons, but if you can't find a guy who you definitely think is better, it's a tough spot. I don't envy the USC administration, and I certainly don't envy, and I absolutely relate to frustrated USC fans who think that they should be rooting for a better team. So, tough situation. I don't know who they can get if they do move on from Helton, but I don't know if you fire Clancy Pendergast and try to start over there. I don't know how you retain Graham Harrell if Texas is coming hard after him and he's from the state. So, it's a pretty topsy-turvy situation, and I tweeted this last night. I just love USC coaching mill rumor season. It's
delightful.
It's great because there's so much misinformation out there, but I like bathing in all of it as a college football fan. So hopefully everything gets squared away to everybody's liking eventually, because USC being good tends to be good for the sport. But nothing absolute at the time we're recording.
Nothing at time of recording. This show drops 6 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday morning, which means by about 10:30, we're going to find out that he got fired.
Yeah, of course. And that's okay, because we'll do a show and talk about our thoughts about, why they moved on and what we think Jack Del Rio can do in L.A., all sorts
exactly.
of the pertinent response type topics.
So if you get any updates on that super secret emergency meeting,
I'll
break in and we'll play a real talk sound, okay?
Okay. Yes.
Agreed. Elsewhere, the recently fired Willie Taggart is apparently mixing it up with USF, a former suitor. The quote here that I've got on my sheet is, "I've learned representatives of USF have been in contact with former Bulls coach Willie Taggart regarding his old job. Taggart badly wants a second act in Tampa, willing to commit in writing that he's in it for the long haul."
I think it's the Tampa Bay Times deserves the credit for that report. And I suppose it makes sense. Sometimes coming home is the best move after all.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can set your watch to the tweet, "Welcome home."
Oh,
yeah. Coach Reader, the Greg Schiano, "Welcome home to Rutgers. Welcome home, Mac Brown, North Carolina."
I made that joke on the Fantasy Thing show.
I think you
with
did.
Scott Frost, yeah. Right? Welcome home. Yes. The welcome home thing is a personal favorite.
Willie Taggart certainly had USF peaking as a double-digit win team before he left for Oregon, so perhaps it makes sense, and he would just be happy to have a head coaching job, at least in a pretty big conference. So good for there. Willie Fritz, another Willie, and head coaching rumors, speaking with both Arkansas and Mizzou about their openings. I just saw Mike Bobo. They were very careful about the way they described it. It was a mutual separation, like the Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin, conscious decoupling. So Mike Bobo and Colorado State have consciously decoupled, and so Colorado State will now be in the market, joining UNLV in the Mountain West. We've had some draft declarations, Ty.
Oh, it's that season.
And I don't know
it?
If you have Mike Bobo thoughts. I apologize for skimming over that.
No.
YGM, very terrifically talented pass rusher for Penn State. Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State receiver. J.J. Taylor at Arizona, the small little, very quick back. LaViska. For Colorado, the crazy talented receiver. Anthony McFarland, Jalen Rager, and Big Albert O are the headliners at the time we're recording this. Do you have any thoughts about any of those early declarations, and if any of them are dramatic losses for those teams?
And we have confirmed that Anthony McFarland is not Booger's son, correct?
Confirmed.
Okay. No, I mean, I figured Yetur Gross-Matos would go pro for Penn State, and Laviska Shenault figures to be a first-round talent. Real curious to see about a guy like Jalen Rager, who we've been really high on. And Anthony McFarland, you know, he bursts onto the scene and has, I think, been pretty good in his short time at Maryland. So curious to see what the next level may have in store for him.
Ran all over Ohio State last year. And then otherwise, Felipe Franks, I think we talked about, maybe we didn't, is exploring his options, both in the transfer portal and his draft options, I think.
Does he have draft options, you think?
It appears to be a pretty good draft year for quarterbacks. So I don't know if it looks great in that arena. Also, Jake Bentley, staying in the SEC East, he has declared his intention, at least has entered the transfer portal. He's looking around to see what's out there in terms of quarterback needs. I don't know if there's any other administrative things to hit on. I'm monitoring the Clay Helton Twitter search. Nothing's really popping up at the moment.
Okay. I got the sound ready. Let me know.
I'm seeing right now a fake Mizzou account is tweeting. Do you want to know the fake Mizzou coach?
Yes.
I think the Reddit CFB Twitter account fell for it. So Mizzou football, probably with I's for L's. Jim McElwain is the fake 33rd head coach at Mizzou. You got to click the links, people. You got to click the links.
All right. Well,
that's it.
Keep us posted what's going on out there in the Twitter sphere. Dan, let's get to games.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
It is conference championship week. We got a bunch of games here that we want to get through. Have you given much thought to how we are branding our final Saturday of college football?
Do you want to do this, or do you want to do window of opportunity first?
I want to do this because I need more time to think about the window of opportunity.
That's okay. So obviously, if I'm going with a theme of cleanliness, I think it's both of cleanliness of body, of mind, of attitude, which I guess fits in with mind. And I'm probably going to offend people by saying that, because cleanliness of mind is a kind of a loaded phrasing.
Sure.
But there is a chemical tie that your nerve cells produce that regulates so much in your body. And wow, why would Healthline.com lie to me?
This is Magic School Bus going inside the body right here.
We are. We absolutely are.
Okay.
So in talking about reducing depression, regulating anxiety, healing wounds, stimulating nausea.
Is this Serotonin Saturday?
Serotonin Saturday, Ty. Maintains your bone health. I'm talking about people getting good night's sleep. Serotonin affects that. Diet, serotonin affects that. Libido. How aroused are you to run that extra yard,
Ty? Okay, settle.
Push forward.
Don't people take serotonin to go to sleep?
I think you're thinking of melatonin.
Oh, that's melatonin.
Yeah.
Melatonin.
You hit the S correctly.
Yeah. Okay.
It can help in your deuces, Ty. It can help with your sleep, your blood clotting, your bone health, because everything needs to come together. And I'm even talking about for Clemson, who was, what, a 28-point favorite?
Yeah.
I still think there's a certain part of Clemson that if they're going to separate themselves from, I think we can agree, pretty decent Virginia team.
Sure.
It's all got to come together. And if everything's coming together, you got to have serotonin at the wheel. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, no.
A chemical that your nerve cells produce. Not a sponsor.
I have Savor the Flavor Saturday.
Okay.
Being so it's our final Saturday. And
that's pretty good.
After this, I mean, you have bowl games, you have playoffs and all that, but it sort of won't be the same for a full 8 or 9 months. I've got Shock Me Saturday.
Oh,
which
okay.
is, you know, I'm not trying to be like sadistic here, but Shock Me Saturday. I'm looking at these games and I'm trying to figure out, okay, are there any shockers out there?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any games as a college football fan, as someone who has long been a proponent of as much chaos as possible? I need that shocker.
I don't see any game, and I'm including every single FBS conference. Do you see any game in which there is a spread of 5 or fewer points?
No.
Chicago Chain, Superdog Saturday. Because we could lean into the Yakos and just give regional hot dog places shout outs.
Superdog Saturday.
Superdog.
That is not bad.
It's called Superdog.
That is not bad.
I'm going to roll with Serotonin Saturday. You can do what you want.
The only other one that I had here was Selena Saturday, and that's because I sent you a Selena Gomez YouTube clip before we connected up here. But I don't know if that one really applies in the way of Shock Me Saturday.
Right. Also, again, I want to clarify, because I am a very stupid person. Serotonin is a good thing, it seems. And when I say cleanliness of mind, if you're a little off in your mind, that's cool. Doesn't mean you're unclean. I just am reading from healthline.com.
All right. Fair enough. Important disclaimer. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for getting that in there.
Yeah.
Window of opportunity. Last one. Before the whole damn thing's a window of opportunity.
Yes.
I don't really know how I feel about this. I am looking at some of these games here, and I'm feeling an awful lot like the weakest link is probably the Virginia-Clemson game. The problem is that that's at the same time as Ohio State-Wisconsin.
Right. There is no window.
I don't know if there's a window.
I don't see a damn window. This is a cheap New York apartment that you're going to hang up one of those fake skylight things to make it seem like you're not going insane.
I don't know if there's a window here.
No, the window is the wall.
And again, listen, after this, the whole damn thing is a window of opportunity. Go see Cats. You can actually go see Cats again.
I've heard great things. Have you heard Knives Out? I've heard amazing things about Knives Out.
No.
I'm going to go see that, I hope.
Go see whatever you want.
Yeah.
But give yourself this Saturday, even this Friday, if you're really into it. No window of opportunity this week. You ready to dive in here?
Well, if you're on the West Coast, you got, what, a 5 p.m. kick?
Yeah, sure.
So you got late dinner. You're good to go.
The Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship game. They're going to be doing the tuition throw here. They're going to be multiple tuition throws this weekend.
Do the chest pass, kids.
We will be doing a full breakdown on the Sunday show. I have recommitted myself to the tuition throw controversy. This one is at high noon on Saturday. It's on ABC. It is 11-1 Baylor. It is 11-1 Oklahoma. The Sooners are an 8-point favorite. You may recall, this is a rematch from about 3 weeks ago. That was the game Baylor probably could have maybe won after a really hot start. Also the same game where Oklahoma came all the way back and won 34-31 in Waco. A real heartbreaker yes. for the Baylor Bears. So this is a real opportunity for Baylor to get that sweet redemption if they want it. And for both teams, of course, there are playoff implications. I think they both need some help.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly on the table for both, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about the latest rankings, I suppose. I'd rather just talk about these games. Yes, an enormous game. I'm actually pretty excited by this game. And one of the things that we've talked about is how many points will it take to beat blank?
Sure.
We know exactly how many points it takes for Baylor to beat Oklahoma. 35. How many did they give up last time at home? 34.
34.
It takes 35 to beat Oklahoma, especially now on a neutral site field at Jerry World. And Oklahoma, for their part this year, they've really done a good job improving their pass defense. And I guess they probably should have, considering this year's crop of Big 12 quarterbacks as a whole. And it seems like the Sooners should win if they're able to keep it. What's the theme? Clean. If they are able to avoid turnovers and play relatively disciplined, it's going to be very difficult for Baylor to score 35 points, even in a revenge spot. They'll probably need to run the ball pretty successfully, much better than they did in the second half the first time they played, probably get some turnover luck. And here's the thing. If it takes 35 to beat the Sooners, how many times, you don't have this at the top of your head probably, did Baylor score 35 against a pretty decent Big 12 team? The answer is once.
Yeah.
They scored it against Oklahoma State. And that's not how they beat teams. And the defense has been a luxury in that they haven't needed to score a ton of points. But, man, Lincoln Riley offense, even with the topsy-turviness, that's today's phrase, of Jalen Hurts, I have it 30-27 Oklahoma. So I'm gonna take the points here. I think Baylor covers. The defense is too good to be separated from. But I think the Sooners take it.
I think you're right to mention some of the defensive improvements that Oklahoma's made. But have you noticed, We haven't really talked much about Alex Grinch since late October.
Right.
And this defense hasn't played as well since that K-State loss. Now, the last few games, they've gotten their act back together here, but...
Well, they didn't play that well against K-State.
Well, they certainly didn't play that well against K-State.
Right.
But there have been moments here that have caused me to question the, I don't know, validity of that defense, let's say.
But if you can hang around and you're not forced to throw from behind,
right?
You can
sure
do really interesting things on the ground against Oklahoma. There's a path.
There's absolutely a path. My point here with the defense is I don't know if that's an issue here. Even if they should have lost that first game, they did come back and win, and the defense came up big in the second half of that game. So it's just kind of a factoid that would only interest Tom Hammond, but something that I've been paying attention to over the last couple of weeks. I do think Oklahoma's the better team here. I just think that 8's a lot of points. So I'm going to say Baylor plus 8, maybe something like 38-31 Oklahoma. The concern is that
Baylor's defense giving up nearly 40?
They gave up
field?
They gave up 34.
I know. They gave up 3, in the first half?
They gave up 34.
That counts. I know. They did.
The concern here, though, from a point spread standpoint, is especially if you're betting Baylor plus 8,
right,
whoever wins this game has to try and do it with as many style points as possible.
Correct.
And I think that makes for a lot of front door cover potential.
Oh, sorry, doggies. Also, it should be noted that in that first game, this is to your point, CeeDee Lamb didn't play for Oklahoma.
No, he didn't.
Seems like a difference maker.
I would agree with that.
So we agree.
Yeah, I think there's a lot we agree on here. I'm also going to take those points. I'm on the fence, though. I'm on the fence. And it does feel like the kind of game where Oklahoma could get up and try to run away with it and try to lay it on as thick as they can.
I think you're right. And throw chess passes, kids. Get money however you can. College is expensive. Don't listen to Ty. Ty would throw chess passes if put in that opportunity. He needs cash.
I probably would, wouldn't I?
Of course.
If it's quicker, I probably would. I don't like watching it, but if I'm in that situation and I could win a tie.
If any of your three kids were on the field and not throwing a chess pass ended up costing you an extra $100,000.
Sure.
Have you talked about your kids on the show yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. You would kind of be furious.
I would have a hard time with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
The rent would go up. Okay.
I'm glad we agree on everything now.
SEC championship game. This one's at 4 p.m. on Saturday. It's on CBS. It's 11-1 Georgia. It's 12-0 LSU. The Bayou Bengals are a 7.5 point favorite. They didn't play during the regular season. They play this one in Atlanta, so it's sort of a home game for the Georgia Bulldogs. Would you agree that this game is our best chance for an upset this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, upset in quotes.
Right.
It's two top four teams playing. I don't know what they'll end up after the fact, but yeah, I suppose Georgia in Atlanta in a dome, I mean, it's fast track for LSU, has a very good shot at winning this game. But they're a touchdown dog here. They're a dog is a dog. Yeah, I think this is the best chance for upset. I took a while with this one. It was at, 7.5, 8 points? It came down to 7.
Yeah.
I have this as a push.
Do you really?
Yeah, what I do a lot of the time is I don't look at the spread and I just think about what I think the final score will be. If I had to go one direction or the other, I think I would probably take Georgia to cover this. Right. But I have LSU winning either way. Their offense, as we've seen all year, incredible, amazing. I think the biggest concern with the Tigers from time to time has been their run defense, especially if we're comparing it to what the Georgia offense can or can't do down, I guess, a receiver and a half since George Pickens is suspended for the first half. Not a lot of firepower from Georgia in the passing game. At least creatively, there isn't. LSU's defense has played pretty well against the run. They did a decent enough job against Alabama. We saw them completely hold down Texas A&M. And it was Ole Miss running a different style offense that really succeeded, and Georgia won't be running that style. So if we're really going to reduce it, it's stop DeAndre Swift, a beat-up DeAndre Swift, and win. But that's easier said than done, Ty.
Yeah, right.
So on the Georgia side, to me, their defense is clearly great, with the caveat the best quarterback they've played is almost assuredly Kyle Trask, right?
Definitely.
And they did a pretty good job against him, but they really haven't been tested by a top flight quarterback. So we really don't know how they respond in the face of a killer offense. So I guess you got to score 30 to beat LSU. And that seems like a lot for this Georgia team, which hasn't really gotten there against good teams. So I have it originally 27-20. I guess I can make it 27-21. Tigers very cleanly get into the playoff.
I am also taking the points here. Georgia's really good against the pass. I don't think they're outright stopping Joe Burrow because no one's done that.
Right.
But can they curtail him? Yeah, I think they can.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course.
And because they are so shorthanded out wide, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just try to run clock and they take the air out of the ball. They play that ugly SEC man ball that we came to love or hate at Alabama over the years. But it's kind of their style, you know, mm-hmm. in SEC play this year, they're first in time of possession. It does sound like, thankfully, DeAndre Swift is okay, and he's going to play here.
Right.
We already talked about it being sort of a home game in Atlanta. It feels to me like there's a lot to like about Georgia here. I, too, am very concerned about offensive firepower. That's been a recurring theme so far this year. And I certainly don't think that they can win in a shootout with LSU. But can they muddy it up?
Has Georgia played in a shootout this year?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think they have.
Can Georgia muddy it up? Can they make it an ugly game? I think they can. And I'm getting a little nuts here, but I've got Georgia 28-27.
Wow. Okay. And have you softened at all on your thoughts of LSU being in no matter what happens in this game? This game means nothing. LSU might as well start their third stringers.
Have I thought more about it?
Yeah, I mean, we had this discussion. I sort of put you on the spot. Sometimes
sure.
You need a little bit more time to meditate on things and maybe change your position. I certainly can.
If it's 28-27, I think they get in.
If it's 28-27, LSU, it does not matter what happens in this game. They're in.
Yes. Agreed.
And if Oklahoma just blows the doors off of a really good Baylor team, doesn't matter to you.
I mean, it matters to me. I don't want to make it sound like I'm being dismissive.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter to you in terms of LSU's positioning in this.
I think LSU
teams in.
Because at that point, Dan, at that point when you are comparing teams, you're comparing the body of work over the full year.
Right. Well, it's very difficult to compare bodies of work. It's also like how they win, you know, what the actual scenario is when they win, I think is important.
But if it's 1v1v1, if we're talking about LSU against Utah against Oklahoma, I'm taking LSU's loss.
LSU losing to Georgia.
I'm taking LSU's loss to Georgia over Utah's loss over Oklahoma's loss.
Yeah, I think that renders the game meaningless then.
It would.
And I'm not just, I can't get behind a college football, even if that's a reality in which I live and you live and everybody listening to this lives. I'm just not going to say I'm on board with it.
Fair enough. I am
completely out, and I would put either one of the conference champions, not necessarily because they're conference champions, but because they won right now as a fully formed team. We have, 12 data points on all of these teams. And LSU has an opportunity to beat a playoff team and firmly establish themselves as a top four team. And they lose on a neutral field. I don't understand why that earns them a do-over and we don't get to see if Oklahoma or Utah is able to beat Georgia. I'm out on it.
It's two different trains of thought.
For sure.
We could do a full podcast on this, but I think we are in agreement that we're both taking the points, though.
Yes, we agree.
So we agree.
And as far as I can tell, no Georgia game would qualify as a shootout, and that's good credit, much credit to their defense.
The ACC championship game. Play this one in Charlotte. It is 7:30 Saturday evening on ABC. It is the 9-3 Virginia Cavaliers. It is the 12-0 Clemson Tigers. The point spread here is a meaty 28.5 points, obviously in favor of your defending national champions. These two teams last played back in 2013 during the ballyhooed Mike London era, Dan.
Sure.
Clemson won that game 59-10.
Okay.
So to say that it's a bit of a revenge spot for Virginia might be a bit of a stretch, but isn't entirely off. I struggled with what I want to say about this game.
Oh, keep it clean, Ty. That's the theme. There are kids listening.
I have a hard time breaking this one down because it feels like so much of a foregone conclusion. I really like Bryce Perkins. He's certainly not good enough to do it on his own against a really good Clemson defense. I like the UVA defense, but not enough to really hold down Trevor Lawrence and all the weapons that he has on the Clemson side. They are clearly the better football team.
Mm-hmm.
UVA is, I guess you could argue, legitimately the second best team that they've played all year. So maybe there's something there, but I really struggled with trying to put together like why
the first best team Clemson played.
I guess Texas A&M.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I really struggled with thoughtful commentary that could actually advance the discussion on the ACC championship game.
Okay. I think North Carolina probably is because they got within one and that automatically does it for me. Before I talk about this game and address all of those comments, can you play the breaking news sound?
I can. Don't tell me Clay Helton got fired.
Because this will already be news to everybody listening. It's for you and me. Mike Bone, USC Athletic Director, verified account, just tweeted out, I am pleased to let you know Coach Helton will continue to be our head coach.
Yes, we got one right.
His commitment to our student athletes and to leading with integrity. Oh, interesting. Interesting. What is he saying with that? Is vital to restoring our championship program, which is the goal for all of our teams. So far, it has 207 retweets and 800 plus replies. So Mike Bone's getting ratioed.
Bit
right
of a
now,
ratio situation.
We'll see what happens with the assistant situation and how they perhaps will attempt to improve and add to and adjust and tweak and overhaul the USC program under Clay Helton.
I understand the move. It is still somewhat surprising.
Yeah. Okay. The ACC championship game. So you're right. It is very hard to figure out how this is a competitive game for as good as Bryce Perkins as a do-everything talent. And he's probably the best do-everything quarterback Clemson will face this year.
For sure. Absolutely.
Sam Howell might be the best thrower, but in terms of somebody who can take over a game, that's Bryce Perkins. Unfortunately, I think he is really good at times and okay other times. And his ceiling is just not what somebody like Johnny Manziel or Cam Newton or somebody like that who can just be an all-purpose quarterback and take over a game in a huge spot against a very good team. So if Virginia is going to hang around, if they're going to make this a game, it's going to take Bryce Perkins. It's going to take probably a pick six. It's probably going to take a kick return for a touchdown. Luckily, they might have the best kick returner in the country. Hi, Joe Reed. Hi.
Yep.
Nice to see you. The problem is away from Whoville, away from Charlottesville, Bryce Perkins sort of takes a dip away from home. And it's not far to Charlotte, but this Clemson defense is just absurd, especially against the pass, especially throwing the ball, and Virginia's beat up in their secondary. So I would expect success both deep and turning small passes into big passes for Clemson. And I didn't see the spread before I came up with the score. I have it 35-10 Clemson, so I guess Virginia covers. Hooray.
It feels like a lot of points, doesn't it?
It does.
In a championship
game? It does feel
like
many points. Yeah, and also, and I don't know how much I believe this, but if this is the cliched conventional, like Clemson doesn't want to put too much on film ahead of a potential playoff matchup. So you could see them not wanting to get somebody hurt if they're way ahead in this game. It'd be great if it were competitive late, but I think the brakes will be on, especially in light of Dabo saying how good the ACC is.
Right,
so,
right.
There's that.
Yeah, I mean, the one game that keeps bouncing around in my mind is Clemson losing to Miami 17-9 or something like. They didn't even score.
You mean Virginia losing?
Virginia, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Virginia losing on the road at Miami 17-9. Yeah, that was the final score. They looked really bad in that game. And I just don't know what happens when you go up against clearly the best defense you've faced all year.
Right.
So I think it's right on that number. I think it's something like 49-10.
What?
49-17, somewhere in that range.
Okay, so first, how many points does Virginia need to score? Just what is their final score where if you just saw it on ESPN's bottom line, you'd be like, oh, wow, good for you, Virginia.
In terms of total points?
Yeah, yeah.
If they got to 28.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had in my mind.
28 would impress me.
Okay. And what percentage, what are your odds just from a 0 to 100 that this is, you know, Virginia can do all of those things. Cleanliness is the theme. They can keep it clean, no turnovers, no big mistakes, no crazy penalties, and get that kick return, get that pick six, get that
10%
crazy field position. Yeah, I have it like 7.5%.
10%.
Okay.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of points though.
It is.
I'm taking points. I'm changing
Super
my
Dog
mind.
Saturday.
Super Dog Saturday. Where's my sound? Hold on. Where is it?
Play it.
Let's play it.
The Yakos. Home Dog of the Week.
Now, not home, but it's hot dog related.
Neutral site.
Also, I should mention, for any of these cities, if you're going to the general North Texas, Dallas area, if you're staying in Dallas for this game, if you're a Baylor fan, if you're a... I mean, it's not that long of a drive from Waco and surrounding areas, but Cow Noodles, not C-O-W, K-H-A-O, maybe it's Co Noodles in the Dallas area is my recommendation. For Atlanta, I don't know what I'd recommend in Atlanta. Oh, maybe B's Cracklin' Barbecue, B apostrophe S. In Charlotte, I've always recommended Futo Buddha for ramen. Futo Buddha. Inizio Pizza, also in Charlotte. Very good. I went and it was delicious. And now I'm ready to move on.
Dan, before we move on,
oh,
as you know, it's an exciting time for sports right now, but maybe none more so than in the NFL, where you've got our former Louisville Cardinal, Lamar Jackson, redefining what it means to be a dual threat quarterback.
Love Lamar.
The odds on him to win the MVP race were like 50-1 before the beginning of the season. They have plummeted, making MyBookie's prop section more attractive than ever. Then next week, we've got a UFC card that apparently is pretty stacked, 3 championship fights. People are going to MyBookie trying to get in on the action. It's the best place to do so. If you're the kind of person who likes to make a little bet here.
Sure.
If you like a couple of the big favorites this week, maybe group them together. Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. MyBookie's got more lines and better odds for the player than any other sportsbook around. If you join right now, They're going to match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra one and free money to play with. All you got to do is use our promo code SOLID to activate the offer. Again, that is promo code SOLID at mybookie.ag and get your extra cash. You bet, you win, you get paid.
Sounds great.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Let's move on to the Big Ten Championship game. This one is also on Saturday night at 8 p.m. It is on the Fox Network. It is Ohio State at 12-0. It is Wisconsin at 10-2. And this one also is a meaty 17-point spread, Dan. You may recall these teams played back at the end of October. Ohio State won that one by 31. Mm-hmm. It was a 38-7 final. In that game, Jonathan Taylor, tailback, was held to 52 yards.
Damn.
This was also just in the early days of Jack Cohn, before he turned into Dan Marino, like we saw last week. Yeah. He was 10 of 17 for 108 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, J.K. Dobbins had a big game. Chase Young had 4 sacks. You get the point. They won by 31. That's just the way these things go.
Pretty impressive.
Absolutely. My question to you, and something that I have been dealing with in trying to break down this game, is do we feel that anything significant has changed over the last month or so of football that would change how we feel about Wisconsin?
About Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit more beat up on defense. I know they're down their nose tackle. He's been out since Iowa. He's out for the year. A.J. Taylor's beat up. I think he's their second leading receiver. I don't know if pass catcher, but receiver. I think a corner is hurt, who has a terrific name. Got you remember? I think it's Rashad Wild Goose.
Yeah. Love that.
He's beat up, and so that has changed. But in terms of their actual performance, since they played Ohio State, they edged Iowa, and that looks better. Now how Iowa finished out their season, beating Minnesota, both Iowa and Wisconsin beat Minnesota. Their defense, to me, has not looked amazing. Didn't look great against Nebraska, but managed to clean things up against Minnesota in that sort of tumultuous weather. So I don't think dramatically. Jack Cohn having a nice game against Minnesota certainly is a plus, but
the answer is no, though. The answer
is no. Haven't gotten back like a game-changing receiver. They haven't gotten back 3 defensive linemen who can't be blocked, that kind of thing. So, no, I for better or worse, they seem similar.
They seem similar. If anything, I think Ohio State's gotten better.
And yes and no.
That's a problem as we enter this matchup. The only thing that I would be hanging my hat on if I picked Wisconsin to win and or cover, to be honest, is the fact that this is a rematch, that perhaps there is some familiarity between these two teams.
Well, the first game was in Columbus, right?
It was in Columbus.
Right.
So this is a neutral side. It's in Indy. Yeah. I get it. Different atmospherics at play. But it's just that Ohio State is so good against the run. They're even better against the pass. I don't feel like this game is drastically different from the first. Maybe Wisconsin gets to 14 or 21 points, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I think Ohio State's like 18 to 21 points better here. I still stand by the fact that they're the best team in the country. And okay. I don't see this game being that different from what we saw the first time they played.
Can I ask you a follow-up?
Please.
Would you say the left knee of Justin Fields is exactly the same
it as is
the
not.
Last time they played?
It is not.
Would you say that Justin Fields' mobility in terms of scrambling for first downs on third and nine or buying himself more time to find an open receiver who is popping out of a pretty good Wisconsin defense, would you say that helped them the first time?
It helped them the first time, sure.
Would you say he's probably going to be more limited with an MCL sprain in terms of cutting and speed and changing directions and being able to be the dual threat sort of, was it Wunderkind? You're the one who knows German.
Sure. Got to go Wunderkind.
Wunderkind. Do you think that is altered? I do.
He came off the bench after his injury against Michigan and
right.
threw a pass to the back of the end zone off the short leg. So no, I think he'll be fine. He might not be as explosive. And to your point, sure, maybe he's not as quite as elusive.
A big old knee brace. Yeah.
But I think he'll be fine.
Is fine good enough when he is normally
yes.
a game changer at full health?
When you have all of these weapons, when you have J.K. Okay. Dobbins being a bowling ball with eyes.
Dobbins.
Back there. Thank you, Gus.
Yeah. It's a Gus game, I think, right?
It is a Gus game. So
okay,
beware. But
yeah.
I don't feel like anything is so drastically different. Ohio State has not shown any signs of letting up all year. I don't understand why it would start. I'm not seeing anything that would tell me it's going to start now.
So here is another difference, right? Leading up to the Wisconsin game for Ohio State, I believe they had the Northwestern Friday night game leading up to it. You remember that one?
Yep, sure.
It was close for a few minutes.
Yeah.
It was Michigan State, a bye week, Northwestern, Wisconsin. In retrospect, not a terribly challenging lead up. Leading up to this game, Penn State, somewhat close. Michigan, emotional, not super close at the end. But this is a double body blow game, is it not?
I don't know, Dan.
Facing Wisconsin a week after Michigan, a week after Penn State, you think Ohio State's the best team in the country, and that's fine.
I do.
I think it's significant with, you know, another week on the road. They were in Ann Arbor last week, a beat-up quarterback. So you have that letdown post-rivalry. Not that they're not taking this game seriously, but these are all human emotions. Maybe the Badgers are peaking a little bit and a little more confident after Jack Cohn showed a sort of different element against a good team last week. The good news for Ohio State is Sean Wade, the corner who missed last week's game against Michigan, appears to be, the quote is, should be ready. So the secondary should be in better shape for Ohio State. Wisconsin's going to need two of the following. They're going to need some sort of fluke / broken play.
Yes,
they're going to need
a big
return. They're going to need a big / timely turnover. They're going to need a noticeably immobile Justin Fields. Hope it's not the case, but that would certainly help Wisconsin's cause. They need no J.K. Dobbins run to go longer than like 15 or 20 yards. And I have down here, they need major carpet and turf issues at key moments to really help them out. The defense is actually the bigger issue to me, but I still have, because I think they might be able to get one or two of those, Ohio State 28, Wisconsin 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
Superdog Saturday for me.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. I understand the logic.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's defense the last 6 weeks of the year
mm-hmm.
hasn't necessarily been much to write home about. Looked good last week.
Yeah. Didn't like them on the ground against Nebraska.
Yeah, looked good last week against Minnesota, but there have been spots across the second half of the season here that have left me wondering at points. But I just don't think it's drastically different. I'm taking Ohio State minus whatever. So we disagree.
Disagree!
And then our final Power 5 championship game, if we could travel back in time, Dan. Because this show drops on a Thursday morning, we want to give people ample time to listen to the other content before we get to the Friday game.
Yeah, so they can listen to our wrongness about Friday night as they go to a Saturday game.
Save the best for last.
Correct.
This one is 8 p.m. It is Friday. It is on ABC. It is Utah at 11-1. It is Oregon. Your Oregon Ducks, the defending Red Box Bowl champions.
Where's my hat?
At 10-2. The point spread here is 6, Dan.
Ooh.
Six
Spicy.
Points.
Yeah, it's pretty low considering the other games that we have in front of us.
They still play this one in Santa Clara, correct? Levi Stadium?
As far as I know. as far as I know.
So talk to me about this one. How do you feel as an Oregon fan and alum?
I'll speak to this both as an Oregon fan and alum and as somebody who has watched the Utah Utes play football this year. So for Oregon to win this game after a couple of pretty lousy performances from the offense, they were fine defensively last year, but their offense has certainly been a pretty disjointed lot. Justin Herbert has to win this game. I don't think they can ride the running game. I don't think they can ride that pistol. I don't think they can ride, you know, counting on those backs to really move the chains. They need to play uncharacteristically smart, aggressive, and creatively in big moments on both sides of the ball. We saw them fail the moments on defense, even though it was a pretty good defensive game. They gave up those big passes to Jaden Daniels and those ASU receivers. For me, there are just too many ifs about Oregon. There's too many questions about Oregon and too many answers about Utah.
Yeah.
The big question for me about Utah is it's been a nice year to be in the Pac-12. It's been a very nice year to be good in the Pac-12, which I emphatically believe Utah to be. I don't know how tested they are. They tried to give away the Washington game in the third quarter with a couple of turnovers, and they came back like a good team should and overcame them and won that game. It was a 5-point game, but they were up 12 late, so it was fine. They lost to USC and their fourth string quarterback. Inexcusable the way they lost that game. Mistakes in the red zone, and just they just didn't look like themselves. Utah's the better team. Utah has more ways that they can win this game. Tyler Huntley can pick up first downs with his legs if everybody's covered on 3rd and 7. I think Utah's just in a better space. Their front seven is ridiculous. They get after the quarterback. They stop the run. They stop big plays. If Oregon has a shot, they're going to need to go downfield a good amount. And I think it was Mikhail Wright who had the 100-yard kick return against USC.
Right.
I talk about cleanliness. I talk about, you know, needing something plus something plus something. I think Oregon's in that spot because it's what we're 13 or they're 12 games in, and you watch their offense and you don't have a sense of like, what do we do well?
Right.
Oregon can't answer that question.
That is actually what I've got written down here on my sheet.
What's our bread and butter?
I want to know what Oregon does well.
Right.
And I mean, they
play defense pretty well, but offensively, I don't know.
You've watched them a lot more than I have this year, but that was the question that I kept coming back to. If I'm picking Oregon,
mm-hmm.
what am I truly leaning on? I guess it's Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's an incredible talent. He's got moments, of course, but what am I leaning on if I'm picking Oregon here? And do I value those flashes of brilliance over just the utter consistency of Utah so far this season?
Right.
A top 10 team, both in terms of offense and defense, according to the SP Plus efficiency metrics, which I know we both love,
mm-hmm.
and they've just been very consistent. Oregon, Dan, they've almost got a little bit of a half-team complex going on. You just don't know which half of the team is going to be better.
Yeah, I think it's almost like half of their games, they look really good.
Right.
Like half of their games, they look like a complete team. We've seen it this year against, you know, Colorado and USC, teams like that. And other times, you don't know what sometimes it's on execution, sometimes it's on play calling, sometimes it's on the stubborn elements of how the offense is built. And here's the, I guess, good news if you're an Oregon fan. It should be a pretty mucked up game weather-wise.
Oh, we got a rain game, don't we?
We've got rain, got heavy winds. Oh,
give that to me. Give it to me.
I would grab the under if you're a betting sort.
Okay.
In a wind game, I think it's in the 50s, the over-under is where it's set right now. If Utah's favored by about 6.5, that means they see it as what, like, if my quick math, like a 30-24-ish type game.
Something
I don't think it gets that high.
28-23 is what I have written down.
Okay, so it's right around, I don't know where the over is right now, but I think Utah wins this game by 13 points. And it's something like, I don't know, 27-14, 30-17, I don't know. But I would hit that under, and I feel good enough about Utah both covering and the under that that's just a double barrel lock for me.
Really? You want me to lock it up?
Yes, please.
Lock of the week.
Wow. Okay.
Is this the biggest game in Utah football history?
Probably.
They beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. That's not insignificant to play in the Sugar Bowl against that type of legacy crazy program. But for Utah to have an opportunity to waltz into the elite of the elite of the sport. I think this is the biggest game in program history. This is their titanium Super Bowl. I think they're going to do. I think they're going to walk into the playoff. I just think they're flat out better.
I've been stumping for Utah for a while now.
Yeah.
I think they're a good team. I am very curious to see if, because this game is on ABC, we get some sort of like sidebar conversation about Utah's got Paul Feinbaum's comments on their bulletin board in the locker.
I saw that.
America doesn't want Utah in the playoff. Whatever, Paul. Whatever.
Right.
I got 28-23, I think. Win game, rain game, maybe kind of close, but Utah's better. I think they win. I think they get in.
If you are going to this game as a Utah fan or as an Oregon fan, one, bring like a poncho of some kind, maybe long underwear. Two, you might be staying in San Francisco, Del Popolo for pizza. Very, very good. And number three, if you're staying in San Jose, Mexico Bakery for an incredible torta.
We've got five group of five championship games that we need to get through here very quickly.
Let's discuss.
If we want to be thorough, we've got Sun Belt.
It's funny how that works out. There are five group of five games.
Crazy.
Yeah, who knew?
In the Sun Belt, we've got Louisiana at 10-2. We've got App State at 11-1. It's at high noon on Saturday. App State won this one by 10 back in the beginning of October. They are a 6-point favorite here, Dan. Who you got?
Raging Cajuns run the hell out of the ball. App State gives up some big runs. So I'm going to stick with Superdog Saturday. Raging Cajuns, Louisiana by a touchdown in Boone.
I've got App State, but I think it's close. I think it's a field goal.
Okay.
Giving the Mountaineers.
Disagree.
Let's go to the MAC championship game. Also at high noon, it is Miami, Ohio at 7-5. It is Central Michigan at 8-4. Central Michigan is a 7-point favorite. This is the first time these teams have played all year. Dan, who you got?
You can throw on Central Michigan, but I don't see Miami being able to. I've watched them some during some action. They beat up on a lot of terrible teams, but I guess so did Central Michigan. I'm going to go MAC in the MAC championship. Chips by 10.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Conference USA championship game. It is at 1:30 on Saturday. It is UAB, the Dragons, at 9-3. It is FAU, the Owls.
Owls.
Also at 9-3. The Fightin' Kiffins are a 7.5-point favorite, Dan. They did not play during the regular season. Who you got?
I think I'm going to take FAU. I don't think the Blazers are going to be able to keep up, so I'm going to take the Owls by 10, especially since pretty good defense for Lane Kiffin and Boca.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
And it could be his going away party.
Could be.
If he decides or if he's offered another job. So I'm with you. I like FAU by 10 to 14 points, somewhere in that range.
The FAU.
Yes, excuse me. American Athletic Conference Championship game. 3:30 on Saturday. It is Cincinnati at 10-2. It is Memphis at 11-1. They played last week, Dan.
They played just last week.
They played just last week. Memphis
very
won.
Very same place.
Very same place. Memphis won that game by 10 points, 34-24. Well, lo and behold, the point spread here is 9. In the rematch, Dan, who you got?
I think there's something super back and forth about Cincinnati going to Memphis, coming back. It's been a long trip, but I'm going to take Memphis here by a couple touchdowns. I don't trust the Cincinnati offense, even though it's tough to beat a team 2 weeks in a row comfortably. I still think Memphis is that much better on offense. Cincinnati will get stops, but it's going to wear on them, I think.
I got Memphis by 2 touchdowns. I think a point that you raised last week is the important one, and that's they made a switch at quarterback, but just on the whole, Cincinnati's offense has been sneaky terrible all year.
Yeah.
Decent enough defense, but not as good as they were a year ago. And
right.
Memphis is really good on offense.
Tough
I think
spot
they can
for a freshman.
Absolutely. And finally, the Mountain West Championship game, 4 p.m. It is Hawaii at 9-4. It is Boise State at 11-1. The Broncos are a 14-point favorite. These two teams did play back in mid-October. Boise won that game by a 59-37 margin. Dan, who you got?
59, what did you say? 59-37, 22 points?
Yep.
That's a lot of points. Great half team in Hawaii, whose offense is great and their defense can be a nightmare. Boise was actually pretty lucky to win at Colorado State, and I guess what turned out to be Mike Bobo's final game. I'm expecting big things from Boise's terrific freshman running back, George Helani. So I have another 20-pointer, 44-24 Boise.
That is all I have in the way
of except for you have one other matchup, which you insist is bigger.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's do it. I don't have a sound for this. I have nothing to play.
Play them all.
I'll play December to Remember.
Oh, yeah, that works.
It sort of takes the steam out of this matchup, but it's at high noon. It is the number 4 Muhlenberg Mules. Mm-hmm. Located right here in good old Allentown, Pennsylvania. Division 3. It is the number 6th ranked Salisbury Seagulls, a team that was our seafaring team of the week a couple weeks
ago. That's true. Yes.
They are squaring off in the Division 3 quarterfinals, Dan.
Muhlenberg undefeated, the Mules.
Undefeated.
How far are you from Muhlenberg?
I used to be 5 minutes from Muhlenberg.
Oh, okay. By the way, they beat MIT in the first round of the tournament.
And I think they won 42-0 last week.
They did. They took down the Brockies of Brockport 42-0. They have not let up a point.
No.
Not allowed a point in the tournament. So
some would say a team of destiny, but here is where I'm going with this. Friend of the show and participant in our DC live show, one Tim Murray, who's on NBC Sports Network. I know you've been on Tim's show a bunch of times, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He is a Muhlenberg alum.
And he also former athlete.
Former athlete and also lives close enough to where this game is taking place.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him today.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get him to pack up the wife and the kids, throw them in the car, make the short jaunt down to Salisbury to cheer on your alma mater. He refuses.
Yeah, do some tailgating.
He refuses. He said it's going to be cold.
Oh.
So I think we should do a not-so-secret verbal and encourage him, as only verballers can, to go and watch his Muhlenberg Mules.
Just tweet at him and say, what kind of man is scared of seagulls? Go watch some football. Coward. You don't have to do the laugh part.
One, the numeral one. One, Tim Murray. T-I-M-M-U-R-R-A-Y. The number one, Tim Murray on Twitter.
Yeah, what kind of man is scared of seagulls?
That's all I got, Dan.
Go watch some football, coward. That's all I have as well. I know he listens to the show, so he's going to hear that. But just encourage him to have a great time. He has a young child. Everybody can go have a great time with some, what are they,
D3? Yeah. Sure.
D3 football. Come on.
Let's get this
done. All right. That's all I have, Ty. Cleanliness, serotonin, shampoo, whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Savor the flavor.
Do you have a lock?
My lock is Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
I'm locking up Ohio State. It has been a pleasure doing these preview shows with you all season, Dan.
Are you breaking up with me?
Not yet.
Okay.
We will be back on Sunday to recap all of this action and much, much more. Perhaps there will be other coaching news breaking in the college football sphere. If it does, we will be with you on Sunday to discuss it. We'll also be with you on Tuesday. One last Tuesday cruise.
Florida State will name a coach by the end of the weekend.
They claim they want to. They claim they wanted to before the end of November, but that didn't quite work out.
Could mean that it's somebody involved in a conference championship game.
Could be Mike Norvell.
Could be Mike Norvell involved in a conference championship. Could be one of the Clemson co-offensive coordinators.
Yeah. We will have to wait and see. We thank you again for downloading the show, for subscribing to the show, for being such a willing participant in our madness here on the Solid Verbal. Until we talk again on Sunday, thanks again. Enjoy your weekend and stay solid.
Peace.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.